Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions. I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for this evening, and tonight we have a special guest, Christina Blosoni. Christina is from the East Coast in New Jersey. She is a social worker, but is a psychotherapist, does clinical hypnosis and Reiki. She contacts ancestors, spirits, guides, totems, and light beings to establish healing and balance of mind, body, and spirit. She has also worked in psychiatric hospitals. And she works with patients who are considered by traditional medicine mentally ill. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I am so delighted. It's so strange how we got to know each other. I was looking up for audience, I was looking up to contact people for another situation, and I came across Christina's name, and we just seemed to click, and she is in the traditional as well as the complementary side of medicine, and I am a great proponent of the coming together of the two to provide great healing and complete healing for all the body, mind, and spirit. But I'm going to let you tell your story about who you are and how you came to be where you are, and some really interesting stuff that I need to let our audience know quickly is that we realize that we both have an interest in the paranormal as far as UFOs are concerned, and that
kind of
blew our minds because neither one of us knew we had an interest. But go ahead, dear.
We're pretty eclectic over here. That's true. That's true. Well, basically, I started off, this was, psychiatry was my big thing, and I'll never forget it. I was born and grew up in Argentina, and it was, my mother came up one day, I was like about 14, 15 years old, and she says, well, did you finally realize what you're going to do with your life? I was like, yeah, I did. Well, I really want to study parapsychology. Parapsychology was really, really big back there. I'd rather not say the year that I'm talking about. It was so long ago. Well, all right, you're not going to do that. You're going to go to medical school. All right, well, that was the end of that conversation, and I was gearing in into going to medical school. But unfortunately, I couldn't. I was over-identifying with everybody. So I said, all right, fine, let me go to psychology. So I went to psychology, and I was in school over there in Argentina, and then my parents decided to come here. And I got enrolled, and I did my BA in psychology. And I realized what type of my professors, the way they were. I was like, do I really want to become like them?
Yeah.
Plus, I wasn't really happy either in putting labels on people. I wasn't happy in the terms of, all right, fine, here we have a category of people, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to test them. We can't test people. People are unique. We're all unique. Even though we come from one spirit, we're all unique individuals.
Right.
So that went for that. So I said, well, let me go to social work, you know, helping out individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the peace man type of thing, and everybody was all together. And that's where I graduated, you know, in my master's, I graduated in social work. So I went for that. And once again, you know, when students ready, the teacher arrived, I did traditional psychotherapy for a while. And I was bored out of my mind. It wasn't going. So then I got, a friend of mine introduced me to the Reiki. So I got attuned, we both got attuned, we got our Reiki master symbol. I said, you know, that's good, but now I need something else. So I went for clinical hypnotherapy. Then I started going, I said, well, what if, you know, we use clinical hypnotherapy with the Reiki, and that's when everything started opening up.
Wow.
And it was just amazing, the things that started coming. And started coming through. So I said, all right, that's good, but I need something else. So I went for, I did half of it, it's called EMDR, Eye Movement Decentralization Reprocessing, with Dr. Francine Shapiro, who came up with that particular theory. Excellent for post-traumatic stress disorder. And once again, it deals with the hypnagogic state. And it deals with basically repatterning the original trauma
and
integrating it through the, throughout the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting. So that's basically where I'm at. Right now, where I'm working is in the largest psychiatric hospital in New Jersey. And that's where the interesting part comes. I also have my private practice, and we do real, and there's the real me coming out. Here I'm more conservative, you know, more laid back. It's allopathic medicine. So we basically have to go and abide to their rules and regulations.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Plus, if I do this, they'll think that I'm just like a patient. And that's where we're coming to talk about today, psychic versus psychotic, and the fine line between the two, and my travels and all of
these disciplines.
Basically, you know, all the interesting things that I have encountered, and the same as the patients and the clients.
Great. Well, in when we first talked, I know I had mentioned that it was my feeling, not my knowledge, but my feeling that many patients who are under psychiatric care may be just highly sensitive. They're psychic. They have these abilities, but they don't know what they, the people who have them don't know what they are. They seem uncontrollable. They frighten people around. The family members are frightened of it. And so people are sort of assigned to psychiatric care when really they are being opened to experiences of a higher dimensional nature.
Yes.
And you said, absolutely, that's what you felt too.
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, basically, all right, let's backtrack a little bit right now, and let's look at, you know, when we're growing up. We all, you know, we have 10 generations of mom, 10 generations of dad, and we have all those genetic components. So basically, if I'm going to go off and explain disease or dis-ease to the patients or to the clients, the way we're going to go and look at it is the following way. We are born with a genetic predisposition of all diseases. We're talking about cancer, psychosis, dementia, you name it, we've got in our genetic code. So now let's look growing up. So we're going to take two instances. I'm going to go in two extremes. We usually fall, you know, in the normal bell curve, you know, usually born there. But let's go to extremes so we can understand how this really happens. So let's say, for example, I'll take myself for example. All right. We got little Christina. Yeah, little Christina, let's say she's about 4 years old. So here I am, I'm still in the concrete phase, but I'm really open to spirit. From, you know, about infancy all the way until the age of six, seven, eight, we're very open. We're, our chakras are hopefully very well balanced as long as we're, you know, healthy physically. And what happens is that I'm having, let's say, a conversation with, you know, my imaginary friend.
Right.
My imaginary friend basically would be my, my spirit guide, or it can be, you know, any other astral being. So let's say I'm having the conversation, mom comes over, and let's say, for example, mom is having issues. She has clinical depression. She just had a fight with dad. Finances are low. She sees me, you know, playing or, you know, conversating with my imaginary friend. Oh, and then she starts screaming and yelling at me. Okay? So let's leave that example now. So now here I'm talking with my imaginary friend. All right, and mom comes in. She starts screaming and yelling at me, what's wrong with you? And displaces and projects her unresolved issues onto me.
Right.
So let's leave on the side. Same scenario. Here's little Christina, 4 years old, talking to her imaginary friend, enters mom. So let's say mom is pretty healthy. Okay. And mom comes out, oh, who are you talking to? Oh, no, I'm talking to my little playmate. Oh, how nice. Well, let's go and talk together, and let's go and play together. All right. Now there is a bonding between mom and myself. Now it's okay for me to talk. My coping mechanisms and skills are totally different. That's when I start, that's when the personality starts forming. Now my coping mechanisms, the skills start forming. Let's go back to the, you know, the first example. how am I going to be feeling about myself when I know that I'm open to spirit, to my imaginary friend? I am open to you know, him or her.
Mm-hmm.
But now I am being, you know, chastised. I'm being reprimanded. I'm being put down because of somebody else's projection displacement.
Okay.
Now I'm going to be utilizing another coping mechanism and skill.
Just a moment. Was there a beep on the line? Did you hear a beep?
I think I did.
Okay. Is there someone on the line? Has someone called in? No? Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, that's all. So, yeah, I know. I was so wrapped up in my own conversation that
once I start talking, it's hard to stop.
Uh-huh. So now we're looking at the coping mechanisms and skills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as we start growing, let's say, for example, now me, all right, as, you know, little Christina, mm-hmm. 4 years old, let's say, for example, I do have that. Now, all of us do. All of us are in contact with spirit one time or another in our life.
Right.
It is our belief system, the coping mechanisms that we have, and then later on will come the personality development.
Right.
And also what was given to us in the environment.
Right.
Now, it's interesting because, as let's say, for I have a good example that comes into my head right now with one patient in which she came in, her primary diagnosis was psychosis,
mm-hmm.
also with clinical depression. She comes in, and we douse. Usually, you know, using the good old friend, the pendulum,
mm-hmm.
and we're dousing from root chakra up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finding things. Did this happen to you? Did that happen to you? And I got to the throat chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you hear voices, don't you? He says, yeah. So you're being overly medicated for those voices, too. He says, yeah. So what are you hearing? He says, I hear people's prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So she's being medicated right now because allopathic medicine will say, well, mm-hmm. you know, you're not supposed to be hearing these things. This is
now,
abnormal.
Now, but this was a definite beep.
Yes.
Good evening.
Hello?
Yes. Welcome to the Higher Dimensions. Who's
yes.
calling?
My name is Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
Yes, I have a question about my mother who had passed on. I'd like to know how she's doing on the other side and if she's trying to contact me.
Elaine, that's not what we're on tonight, dear. We are on people hearing and experiencing themselves, hearing and having contact directly with the other side themselves. It's not a reading issue.
Oh, can I please listen in? I'm very interested in
of
that.
Of course you may listen in, darling. Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
And hopefully this will be of great benefit to you. This is what we would like. Okay?
Okay.
So you just listen in, and then if you have a question, call me back, and we'll see if...
Well, I don't have a computer. Can I listen in on the phone since I don't have any computer?
Oh, of course you may.
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
yeah.
Christina.
Well, it's very interesting, too, about with Elaine, you know, crossed over the veil, you know, and a lot of folks in which we found, because another example came to my head right now,
right.
You know, folks with the term of psychosis, but let's go and look at the examples
yeah.
before we go and we get all messed up over here.
Yes.
This is the interesting part about it.
Yes.
You know, psychic, you know, feeling, hearing,
mm-hmm.
seeing, what other people don't see and hear and feel.
And feel and smell.
And smell.
That's true.
Auditory, visual.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, olfactory, hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
Hallucinations. Now, if we're going to go and look at psychosis, I remember back in the day when we were looking at, you know, the organicity of psychosis, really nobody knows. People say, well, maybe it could be something in the frontal lobe, maybe
right.
something with the biochemicals. We
right.
really don't know, but we just, you know, put so much medication on the folks, they don't know if man, woman, or vegetable.
Yeah.
Because they don't feel.
Right.
They don't feel. Now, with the psychic abilities, which we all have,
right.
it's belief.
Right.
What's the distinction between one and the other? Let's go for the example with this young lady that, you know, we were doing the dowsing in the inpatient unit.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel right for her because the belief system in her family and the genetic components of her family tree basically did not enable her in order to have the belief system that she was listening and tapping into the collective unconscious.
Right.
That's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We tap into the collective unconscious through volition when meditation, or
mm-hmm.
just keeping a clear mind, an
mm-hmm.
open heart. That's how we, but what is, how do we know in reality if it's not an ego manifestation
right.
of a psychotic episode?
Right.
Okay. That's where it boils down. So one day I sat down with myself. I was like, all right, Chris, you know, how can you figure this out?
Mm-hmm.
With psychosis, okay, and I'm going to go something a coworker asked me today about, can you be a psychic psychotic, okay, which that was a very interesting term. I love that. And I thought about it. I was like, yeah, you could, and a lot of them are. Let's look for psychosis. Usually it is a command auditory hallucination in order to do damage to yourself.
Okay.
That's basically what it is.
Okay.
So it's not a good voice.
Right.
Or you have the voice of God or Jesus or Mary giving you a command or giving you that something that is ego dystonic, that is
mm-hmm.
not according to your ego, the way that you feel. You're a sinner.
Right.
Basically, based on a repression that we sustain, such as my example when I was 4 years old,
mm-hmm.
my little imaginary example here, when I was 4 years old and I was talking to my imaginary friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it starts off.
Mm-hmm.
When being psychic, though, it is a clear channel to spirit.
Right.
So it feels good, and it feels good of mind, body, and spirit of receiving the message.
Right.
The body feels good. The mind feels good. The heart is open.
Mm-hmm.
With the psychotic, the mind is closed. The heart is closed. And that's one thing that we did notice when I was dowsing on patients. Usually the heart center is closed.
Hmm. Okay.
It's very interesting. And that's where the pain is situated. So that as the pain is there, the repression is there, especially in the root chakra from 0 to 7, the repression, the anger is there. What are they going to be attracting? They're going to be attracting negative thought forms.
Right.
Or they're going to have a depersonalization
mm-hmm.
and create that voice,
okay.
which then becomes organic.
Aha. Uh-huh. So it starts with a creative imagination and descends into material or
right.
organic.
That's it.
What about children who, like I did, had imaginary playmates that, they were with me?
Yes.
They really were. I mean, we would play hide and seek and did all sorts of stuff. And they disappear at about the age of 11.
Right.
I mean, it was very distinct. And my mother went along with the play, by the way.
That's it. There you go.
She went along with it.
Yeah. But it felt good.
Yeah, it did. You know, I was an only child of older parents, so... I was alone quite a bit, and I had great tea parties.
Yes, but that's the whole thing, because you were connected.
You were
connected. I remember once I was upstairs, and my daughter was in the bedroom. She must have been at that age, I don't know, 3-4 years old, let's say. So she's talking to her imaginary friend, so-called.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, Jasmine, who are you talking to? He says, oh, I'm talking to my imaginary friend. And she's carrying on a conversation. I don't know what she was saying. I don't know, I'm hearing.
They have their own language, by the way.
I'm sorry?
These friends have their own language.
Oh, yeah. No. They must, because I don't know what they were talking about. But I was hearing a two-way conversation.
Uh-huh.
Are you having the radio on? He says, no. The machine? No. I was like, oh, there you go. And it's the true being that she was talking to.
Right, exactly.
That's it.
Yes, yes. It's very true. But it would be, I think, of benefit to all of us if the medical community would open itself up, I think, to accept that there is this real connection and that people are not totally crazy and need to be committed. There are people who definitely, as you say, have an issue. But what I think I hear you saying is, if in the conversation and the connection that you have with, say, spirit, if it's not negative, if it doesn't harm you, in other words, tell you to do things that are not right, do things that are against your moral or ethical, training, and I don't mean opening up to new ideas, mind you. Mm-hmm. I mean, doing things like killing somebody and all that stuff.
Right.
You know, or hurting yourself or, you know, that it's more likely to be just psychic, intuitive issues opening up within your own mind. Is that correct?
Yes. From my experience with, you know, with all folks of all these years that I've been doing this, actually, yes, that's basically what it boils down to. But then again, you know, it's a very fine line now between
mm-hmm.
having the message and voice and vision of spirit and
mm-hmm.
the ego manifestation.
Right.
How can we really make the distinction between an ego or a fantasy
mm-hmm.
and the true manifestation of spirit? That's where the fine line comes.
Right.
And that's when, for example, if we channel or we see or we feel,
mm-hmm.
how does it feel?
Mm-hmm.
Is my solar plexus, like, for example, my solar plexus will open up. Is my solar plexus, is my heart open?
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is my body reacting to it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. A lot of times with any type of auditory or visual hallucination, there is no physiological reaction
mm.
to that particular vision or let's
mm-hmm.
call it auditory or visual hallucination.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing. It's basically more a repression and a depersonalization that's occurring.
Mm-hmm. So if it is beneficial... I think from the New Testament, Christ said it best is if you know the when somebody said something wrong, I say, by the fruit shall you know them. If it's good, if what you do brings about a more integrated personality, makes you happier, makes you more of a person, leads you forward in doing good, and then just in general growing in body, mind, and spirit, then we can say it is of God or good, that it's not psychosis.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
a very simple test.
Yes, if we're open-minded enough, you know. But once again, you know, it's like if I go off and talk to the psychiatrist and say, well, doctor, you know, spirit came to me and this is what I saw, this is what I've heard, and this is what's going to happen. Says, well, you know, let's come here, Chris. Let's sit down and let's talk a little bit more about this because they won't understand it.
Right,
they
right,
really
exactly.
won't. It's interesting because, oh my goodness, I started working in this particular hospital back in 1999, and I wrote out a proposal for
mm-hmm.
the hospital to put meditation, mind-body integration,
right.
and all of that, you know, to the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, I had. They put a picture in the VP office, do not allow this woman in because nobody wanted to come and basically sign that proposal for me.
Uh-huh.
It's easier to give a medication.
Certainly.
Then basically, let's sit down, let's process, let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the type of society that the system, you know,
mm-hmm.
is leading to is more the allopathic medicine. If you feel, you take
mm-hmm.
a pill. If you hurt, you take a pill.
Mm-hmm.
Versus let's go and look at what is the real message
mm-hmm.
of what I'm going through right now.
Right, exactly.
And that's where the healing takes place.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming in contact with the repressions, and we're full of repressions.
Well, that's true. I mean, God knows we grow up with enough of them, depending on where you're raised. And it's also, what I also am getting, too, is that to delve into spirit. Now, I have a cousin, and I told him that I work with hypnotherapy, because I'm a hypnotherapist. And he said, well, that's of the devil. And I said, I beg your pardon. He said, well, I belong to such and such a church, and they warned us that, you know, using hypnotherapy will bring evil and open you to the devil. And I said, well, anything can open you up to the devil if that's your intent, but it's not true. And he's still not convinced that I am not dabbling in some kind of Satanism by using hypnosis, which I think is kind of weird myself, the concept of that.
Well,
but, you know, but this is a fear that he has, and... his mom, I think, used to check under the bed to see if there were burglars there.
Oh.
And she told me this one day, and I said, I wouldn't do that. And she said, why not? I said, because one day you might find one.
Right.
If you look for it, you draw it to you. She didn't appreciate my humor, but that's okay.
No.
I love her dearly.
Well, that, okay, and I'm glad that you said that, because that's, once again, here we go, fear, false evidence appearing real.
Right, exactly.
There you go. It's ego dystonic. It's not, you know, it doesn't feel right to the body, so we repel it. But what happens? Like attracts like.
Yes.
So if I fear the burglar, if I fear the boogeyman, guess what? I'm going to find it.
Yes.
But my mind is going to create it. Now, is that because the boogeyman really exists?
Mm-hmm.
Or the burglar really exists? Well, maybe there is a human being in the house, but that's besides the point.
But you send out vibration. You send out the energy that would attract.
Yes.
That kind of would be in harmony or resonate, I should say.
Right.
With that fear.
Right.
Yes?
It's the fear. Now, I do lots of groups up in the MICA program, which is MICA is mentally impaired, chemically addicted individuals. All right, so you have people that have either, you know, clinical depression, generalized anxiety disorder, and they self-medicate with alcohol or any other type of illegal substances.
Right.
So let's say, for example, a person, this is one thing that I notice up there a lot, the anybody who does anything in an addictive, you know, manner, in an addictive process of, you know, behaviorally, basically, what are they doing? They're doing it in order to numb their pain.
Right.
As they're numbing their pain, the repression stay down.
Mm-hmm.
However, the aura starts breaking.
Right.
As the aura starts breaking, there is no defenses.
Right.
So any type of, if we're going to go and look at the, you know, on the astral level, any type of astral being, and that's something that we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Astral beings will come over, and let's say, well, we're not going to go through the extreme of possession, but we are going to go and say that these individuals are going to be affected by the thought forms.
Yes.
Either through collective unconscious or whatever is here on the three or four dimensional plane in, on this earth or beyond that. So now I have not only my own grief, my own repressions, my fear, my pain, okay, my isolation, but I have now the other thought forms that are going to come and add on to that.
Right, exactly. As we did mention earlier, when the hypnosis training that I got, we did work with depossession, because many people get attachments if they drink alcohol. They're not just a drink because they're being sociable, mind you.
Yes.
I have to make that clear. But if you have an addiction or a compulsion to drink and do drugs, what happens is your body, your soul, really becomes so weakened that those entities which have departed from this earth plane become attracted. They hover around because they're still not wanting to let go of the enjoyment of what they had when they were here on the earth plane. So they'll stick around and attach themselves, so to speak, to anybody whose aura or is weak, or whose defenses are down. And they get a vicarious pleasure out of the alcohol that's being consumed, which means that the person who's consuming the alcohol is now very vulnerable to having someone temporarily toddled into their own body and enjoy the alcohol and taking over. And that's when a lot of things happen that are not good, that people come to and say, I don't know that I could have done that. It wasn't me. And in a sense, it wasn't them. But by allowing yourself to do this, you do become weak in that way. Also, if you become used to it, it becomes more and more difficult, habitual, because now you have an outside entity wanting to continue to enjoy the vicarious situation and the alcohol or drugs or whatever. And so when you're trying to come off it, you have another being which is fighting you, because they still want to inhabit and have fun, and you're going to take the fun away. So now you have really somebody working against your best interest in order for them to continue to enjoy it, because they don't suffer the consequences of what happens to you. They just zip in and out of the body at will.
Right, and they'll look for a host. So they're going to look for a weakened aura in order to go. And basically, you know, psychic attack. You know,
just
latch on to that person and just, you know, get as much energy as possible. And that's when the person will go perhaps into a clinical depression.
Exactly. Or psychotic episode or whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
So that's another reason. I had not realized that until I took my training, and it's absolutely fascinating. Now, there's some other things, too, that we talked about, and I guess we can move into it. My goodness, the time is going by so fast.
Oh, yes.
If anybody has a question, please feel free to call in and ask. Christina is available. And by the way, Christina, where's the number where people can reach you if they want to talk to you personally?
Oh, sure. Okay, right now I have a little office in the hospital, and the telephone number there is 201-225-4700. My daughter also set up a MySpace, and I also have an email, and it's called blackbearandraven @yahoo.com. That is basically my email. And
it's
then
called what?
Black Bear and Raven.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a real strange one. You might want to spell it out.
Black Bear.
Oh, black.
BlackBearAnd. And then Raven, RAVEN.
That's a very nice one.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Well, they're very close to me.
Oh, yes. Okay. So that is what you're... email is, and I think that's wonderful. Okay, well, let's go on now. We also touched briefly on UFO activities because I mentioned I had just finished reading a book. And by the way, I did find the material I was looking for in that book.
Oh, you did. Okay, good. You see, as soon as we hung up, you found it.
Yes.
Yes. Like always, it wasn't meant to be at that moment. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, it is about a lady in England and UFO activity in her life and that of her children. She'll be on in December in case people are interested in that. But you and I started talking about whether or not you had any experiences, and if you believe that such activities were actually real. And you said, oh, my, yes. So that surprised me. I don't know why. I'm very, very shy about talking about this to people. I guess I can get used to it over a period of time. But many people, as you indicated, are now becoming more and more aware of the fact that there are instances or occurrences in their life that can't be explained. And it can be explained if you accept the fact that there is life outside of our own Earth and that there are contacts being made because things are coming to a head where people or the Earth and people here will be needing assistance. Is that correct?
That is my belief. This is interesting, that we're talking about this. I have a belief system on it. That's
right.
True. I do believe we can't be as grandiose saying that we're the only beings in this whole universe.
I agree.
That's too grandiose. Just too narcissistic for me.
Yes.
There has to be other beings. There has to be.
Right.
Even if
not in our direct neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, I don't know about Martians. I have some issues about that.
With the little green man.
The little green man with a big helmet. What movie was that? What was it? The Attack of the Martians? And their heads exploded with classical music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was excellent. That was good. No, we don't have any green men with, exploding heads over here, but basically they are. And there's more. There was instances, I believe it was a few months ago in June, there was, don't quote me on this one here, but I believe it was Mexico, somewhere, Central America, South America, that I saw in YouTube, that there was this news, and they were just, filming whatever they were filming, and all of a sudden they captured this fleet.
Yes.
And they all looked.
Yes.
And then I was like, okay, now that's that's a physical manifestation right now, that we're really not as alone.
Right.
My thinking, I don't know, it was a client of mine a while ago. She said, I'm pretty sure you're aware about 2012. I'm like, yeah, it's a year, and so what? And then I was like, okay, I'm aware. You're aware it's 2007. So she says, no, not that. She says, you got to go and check in about 2012. I said, all right, well, that's where my obsession started.
Ah.
a humongous obsession. Now every time clients, you know, say, okay, all right, Chris, I know. I have 5 years to prepare. I know 2012. I know what's going to happen. Please, I'm working on my issues.
Right.
And basically, it is, like we were talking about before, having a fleet come down in order to prepare us for what's going to come.
Right.
All right. We know about the prophecies. We know about the predictions. We know about the Mayan calendar, the Hopi Indians.
Uh-huh.
We know about the pyramids. We know about all of that. We know also that we're going to be in the center of the universe by the time of 2012. And we also talk about the photon belt, something that, you know, we thought that we were going to go through in 96, and it seems that it just went up a little bit to 2011, 2012, that we're going to go through the photon belt, the three nights of darkness, as the Bible cites, will be us entering the photon belt.
What's the photon belt?
Photon light. So it basically it is a belt made out of light particles.
Okay.
And now they talk about the light particles will have a direct effect on our DNA. All right. Basically, right now our DNA is restructuring. You know, back in the old days, we were with 12 strands. Now we're working with 1/4 of 2 strands.
Right.
Out of a mutation that, once again, according to some channeling, it was done through the Pleiadians. Were more in our favor. It was basically the Pleiadians and the Atlanteans.
Okay.
That was some channeled information. Is it true? We really don't know. Once again, it's a belief system, wherever we want to lead us.
Yeah.
The whole thing is this. Prophecies. Well, Nostradamus, you know, has prophesied. You know, Edgar Cayce has prophesied.
Right.
You know, again, the Mayans, the Hopis.
All of these,
you know, tribes. Our thing is the following. Should it happen or shouldn't it happen, we still need to empower ourselves as humans.
Right.
The way that we're going right now, we're leading into destruction, self-destruction. Not only self-destruction and how we're treating Mother Earth,
right,
but also self-destruction and how we're treating ourselves.
Right.
How we're treating our brothers and sisters in spirit.
Exactly. I have to say that I certainly think that we all need great assistance on that one, that we need to change our attitudes.
Now, they're talking about 2012, that we're going to be entering the fifth dimension, which will be the Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
By then, they say, well, that's the golden age. You know, heaven is going to restore itself on earth here. But they also talk about ascending. Now, the ascension basically is, once again, you know, going back to the 12 strands of DNA and manifesting our thought forms. Once again, here we are. Whatever I think will create an emotion, energy in motion. Whatever I feel, whatever type of emotion that brings up from the thought form will create my reality. So I am a co-creator of my reality through the thoughts and emotions that I have.
Yes, let's say,
for example, we enter the fifth dimension, and now I'm a co-creator of my reality.
Yeah.
If I have thoughts, for example, you know, like, you know, we were talking about earlier with folks who have auditory or visual hallucinations. So let's say Jesus talks to me and says, I'm a sinner because of my own repressions. I'm depersonalizing my own issues onto Jesus. All right. That would be the reprimanding Jesus. Okay. Then that's what I'm going to be creating for myself. Should I enter or should we enter the fifth dimension? I will be co-creating those negative thought forms.
Right. Well, we already do, which is why we have this layer of darkness, which I think surrounds the earth plane. That's why so many people pick up negative thought forms, because every thought you think is energy. Everything you say and do is energy.
Absolutely.
And if you create negative energy by your thoughts and your words and your deeds, you are adding to the weight or heaviness or density. And every time you do the opposite, you know, loving, kindness, gratitude, that type of thing, you are dispelling the darkness and bringing in light.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And once again, we're you know, reshaping our auras. Because the aura, we're, you know, basically, where does disease start? The disease starts with a negative, sorry, there's nothing negative or, you know, positive, with the unhealthy thought form.
Yeah.
That will go to the etheric double, and the etheric double will come down again and give us the disease.
Right.
So now let's go back to the, you know, what we were talking about before about alien, you know, beings. We'll call them aliens for lack of a better word over here. I was working on some folks, you know, in my office, and I noticed that there was, when we were working, we were doing energy work.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that there was something, all right, from the pineal gland going down to, from, you know, the pineal gland all the way down the spinal cord and attaching itself to the root chakra. Like, what on earth is this? So one of the ladies that I was working on, she herself, you know, she does Reiki and she does energy healing herself. She says, Chris, that comes from, you know, you better check where it comes from.
Yeah.
So we both, you know, direct our consciousness up and basically ask, Spirit, where on earth does this come from?
Mm-hmm.
And basically it came, it was an alien form, all right, of mind control. Of mind control.
Really?
They want to keep us status quo in order to self-destruct. They want us to stay with the negative thought forms and not basically ascend.
Uh-huh.
For what purpose? They must have their own purposes.
Right.
But we all have those attachments, basically. We take them out, back again they come down. We take them out, back again they come. And they're getting better and better at them, too. All right, so energetically we can take them out. But what will keep them away? Once again, positive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But the positive, I can say, you know what, I'm a great person. Yep, I'm a great person. I'm a, you know, I'm the best person in the face of this earth. And I'm loved by everybody. Well, that's narcissism and grandiosity.
Yeah.
But I can say I love myself for who and what I am and have a belief system behind it.
Right.
And that's when I empower. That's when I grow.
Right.
Very.
When you were talking about that, just before what you said about the strength of coming back, you can take the thought forms are banished, but they can come back because we give them approval. If we don't maintain our boundary and hold up this, what I call the circle of light that we can bring out to send the negative or attachments away. In the Bible, there is a particular parable that Christ told that, and I like bringing these things together because it's so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was giving an example of the man with whom there were seven spirits,
mm-hmm.
and then he came and swept clean the house,
mm-hmm.
and then he went away, and while he was away, the other spirits came in again, and they were 10 times as bad as before. I'm paraphrasing it badly,
mm-hmm.
but it is a parable of the spirits. And I was reading some of this, and it suddenly dawned on me that Christ was talking about getting rid of the negative thought forms, which is what he did. He threw out the devils or demons out of people.
Yes.
And but if the person in charge didn't make the effort to keep his house clean, so to speak, they would simply come back again, even worse than before.
Yes.
And so in a different way, you're saying the same thing. I just think it's very fascinating how all of this does come together.
Yes. Yes, it does. It really does. Sure.
You know, anyway, I'm having fun with this.
You know, now all the free association, you're saying this. I'm going to give you a recent example. Once again, I was downstairs in the MICA unit outpatient. So,
right.
I, you know, there was one gentleman, I know him for a while.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, Chris, why don't you do the pendulum? So we did. So we went from the root chakra, happy memories from his childhood came up and all that stuff. And then we got up to the throat chakra. And I said, you know, I'm feeling this young girl, all right, I'm feeling this young girl, and I'm hearing her voice. And it's very nice. You know, maybe it's an ancestor, maybe it's a great aunt of yours. Why don't you go and try to find out? Well, he did. He went off. He asked his family member. He says, no, we don't have any family members that fit that description. He says, yeah, but you know what? Hold on. When he was very young, he was extremely abused. All right. And when he was abused, this once again, here we go, this imaginary friend came to him when he was about 6 years old. That's when he was extremely abused. This imaginary friend came to him, and his imaginary friend stayed until he was like about a teenager.
Right.
And then the imaginary friend left.
Right.
When he was able to integrate the abuse,
right,
that's when she left. He says, that's my angel. That's the little girl that I always heard.
Right.
They medicated me because they thought I was having a visual and auditory hallucination.
Right.
She said, but she was all good. She was there to help me
right
go through the abuse.
Right.
How's that for you?
Yes. Absolutely. Fabulous.
It's amazing. It's
isn't
amazing.
That powerful?
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
And he was very happy. And that's the whole thing. A lot of times we feel and think that we are alone and lonely, but if we open up our hearts and we open up our crown chakra for the Holy Spirit or for the universal energy to come through us,
mm-hmm,
there is no more loneliness.
Exactly.
It can't exist.
Right. And that's something that we, each of us, should attempt to learn, and that's what we're here for, actually. We're here to, well, dispel and show that we have learned lessons from the past, hopefully, and then to move on with great respect and love to a new phase, a new life. And for me, that's just one of the most fascinating parts of being here. And it's kind of funny when you were saying, thinking you were a good person. Well, when I was younger, before, when I was rather naive about this.
Yeah, we've been there.
We've been there. Well, I thought I was a pretty good, and I had just learned about reincarnation. I thought, well, I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I must not have a lot of faults or problems, sins, as you would call them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, then of course the concept that you have to come back until you get it right.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I'm going to ask God to let me wipe everything out in this lifetime because I'm such a good person. I can't have too much,
mm-hmm,
you know. Unfortunately, God was home that day by the phone. He said, you want it, you got it. Last time I asked God for a sweeping up.
Yeah, right?
No way, Jose. It is time. He had to be home alone that day, huh? And he was answering the phone, you know. So I went through a whole bunch of you-know-what in my life. And as I said, you know, I've always wondered at my arrogance.
But the whole thing is this. The older the soul, the wiser the soul, the harder the lesson. So if you're like, oh, I have a great life, easy going, chances are you're going to be coming back here many more times. Have it hard, have it difficult, but have the wisdom. Have that wisdom.
Yeah.
That's what you say. All right, fine. We all commit mistakes. All of us have committed mistakes or even sins.
That's true.
But if I'm going to go off and say, geez, you know, let me go back and dwell on the mistake and dwell on all those horrible things. I love it when patients are kind of like daydreaming on me and all that stuff when we're talking about anger. And I always give them the following. So I'm sorry if I go and offend anybody. I do have a dog. She sleeps with us. She has a beautiful life, all right? So what I'm going to say right now, I hope I don't offend anybody. So I said, look, if let's say, for example, in the past, when I used to get really, really angry, I used to grab kittens and chew off their heads and bury their bodies, and I have a gorgeous, you know, roses in my backyard.
Right.
What am I supposed to do now? Am I supposed to dwell on it and feel guilty and ashamed for the rest of my life for what I've done?
Uh-huh.
I know. It's like, oh, no, I love kittens. Oh, I have five of them. Oh, no. I said, all right, think about that. If I do something in extreme, and all of us have done something ugly in our lives, none of us are exempt.
We've all done dumb things in our lives.
We have. Everybody. That's the way we learn. If I dwell on that, what am I going to get out of it? I'm not going to get wisdom.
No.
I'm not going to get compassion for my fellow, you know, human. I'm not going to do all that.
Right.
What I'm going to go? I'm going to create a dis-ease. Clinical depression, addiction, psychosis, oral cancer, or whatever it is,
I
need to acknowledge, accept, and forgive. That's
what
I need to do.
And the thing is, very often we aren't taught that we are, a lot of people say, got to run around and ask God forgiveness. Well, you forget, God is in us.
Yes.
We are God. And so we need to ask our own forgiveness first.
Thank you. Yes.
Because most people don't.
No.
And they don't love themselves. I've often mentioned, if you really want to start on your first journey, stand in front of a mirror, look yourself in the eyes, and you can make sure nobody else is home if you're embarrassed, but look yourself in the eye and tell that person that you see looking back at you that you love them,
mm-hmm.
that you love who they are and who you are creating each and every day. And I will tell you, a lot of people, when they start it, say they can't look at themselves in the eye and say it. They just can't do it.
That's beautiful, Sylvie, saying right now. And that we're not taught to do that, because if we do that, we're narcissistic, we're, you know, stuck up and all that.
Egotistical, the whole nine yards.
Yes, exactly. But we're not going to say, oh, my goodness, you're God's gift to humankind. We're not going to say that.
Oh, no, the guys will say that about themselves, so they don't need to do it.
You know what? It's like, as you said it, look at yourself in the eye and say, you know what? You, the source is in you. The source is all, it's forgiveness, unconditional love, healing, and guidance. And that source, that universal source, the higher self, the higher power of God is in you.
Absolutely.
So you need to love that.
And that's why I also object to people saying, I'm not worthy. And I said, if you weren't worthy, you couldn't possibly have been created.
Right.
God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make trash.
Right. You know? It is the ego that does it.
Yes.
It's the ego that gets us in trouble.
Well, yeah. I agree with that, too. But and I know certain religions would take exception to that. But how can you say you're not worthy?
Right.
You can't. As I said, God created you. How can you not be worthy? How could he do that? That would be a cruel joke, is the way I would look at it.
Yeah.
But at any rate, moving along out of religious areas.
we're not looking at the religion, we're looking at the spirituality of it.
Yes, that's true.
Basically.
Yeah, basically, my belief is that we are, as close as we can say it, created equal, because God created us all.
Oh, yeah.
And that is why I love our Constitution so much, because it seems to reflect that very truth, that we are all beloved. We are all equally wonderful, loving children, and we should respect each other. And if everybody thought that, we'd have no wars.
We wouldn't be in the situation that we are right now. And we wouldn't be having, you know, the collective unconscious that's being picked up right now.
Yes.
Because there's negative thinking, I'm sorry, once again, unhealthy thinking that will pick up, you know, all of those thought forms that our ancestors left.
Exactly. Exactly. And we are our own ancestors. That's the other thing.
Yes.
So we are responsible for cleaning up our own mess, so to speak.
Yes.
And yes. So that's part of why that's what we do nowadays, and that's part of karma, is learning how to clean up our own mess and recreate our thought forms and what we want to have in our life. We are creating our future life every day that we live and speak and move and breathe and have our being. And that's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
Because that means I don't have to get stuck with what I created 5 or 10 years ago or even yesterday.
Right.
I can change it all
and
begin anew.
And become the eternal I am. The eternal I am is not what I was before, but is what I'm thinking in this moment.
Exactly.
That will go beyond all dimensions. It really does. Because it's the thought and the emotion and the energy behind it that will create all. You know, when we're born, we have a myriad of destinies.
Absolutely.
It is the thought and the responsibility that we take for ourselves that will go and choose. It is basically the choosing. What do I choose for myself? Yeah, okay, fine. Yes, maybe I was abused, I was abandoned, I was adopted, I was underneath a coconut tree I grew up. All right. You know, it's like we can always blame something or somebody for our own misery.
Right.
But in reality, I need to take responsibility and charge.
Right.
Nobody else can.
Right. And I perfectly agree. Once you accept that you are the arbiter of your life, you are the power in your life and the force. and God within you, and you have the ability to say yes or no to something, and that is your divine right.
Then
you can take charge and move forward. We are coming close to the end, so I would like you to say your name again and your contact information, and until they say, you know, good night, Chuck or Chet or whomever.
Okay. All right. Well, before I do part, I want to thank you so, so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. This was really, really nice. I hope the audience enjoyed it.
I did too.
You know, so my my name is Christina Blasoni. You can contact me if you like. My email is blackbearandraven@yahoo.com. And my telephone number is 201-225-4700.
Thank you. And I am Phyllis Pricer, the hostess of The Higher Dimension. We're having a great deal of fun on this show, and we're going to have more shows in the future. And Christine, I'd love you to come on again sometime, perhaps in the new year, and enjoy us and talk more. Next week, I wanted to say we're having a Maureen McGill, who is a tarot reader from Seattle, Washington, perfect and delightful woman, and she also is a social worker and therapist. And so we're having a lot of people in the healthcare field combining different modalities, and I just think that that's absolutely fabulous. I just love it. Meanwhile, since we haven't been taken off yet, I would like to invite you to continue. We didn't get talked about as much as we'd like to, but we have ranged along the subject matter, and that was our good night bell.
All right, good night.
We almost made it. Thank you, Christine, and I hope to be talking to you very, very soon. Mm-hmm. We will be in touch, I know. And thank you all, ladies and gentlemen. You have been absolutely delightful. Elena, I hope this helped you. God bless and good night to all.
Good night.
Bye.
Hi, this is singer-songwriter Kara Johnstad, and you're listening to BBS Radio.